God who can do all things. He who is truly beyond our comprehension. He whose name we cannot even pronounce unless He permits. He who is the Holy Trinity, three in one undivided unity, who the second person became man, a man perfect in every way, who willed to remain with us. By the Holy Eucharist, Jesus Christ, our spiritual food, our Redeemer, and by sending the third person, the Holy Ghost, the Sanctifier, to remain, to instruct, to sanctify, to preserve and guide, to illuminate the vessel or body of the church. We read today what God might say. The work that I do, I will not do it alone. When Christ made His first public appearance, come to John the Baptist, John named Him to His disciples. What is it that He said? Did He say, "Tremble? He who knows your sins, your judge, has come"? No. He did not say that. And consider the shock and the joy of His words. John did not mince words. As a lion, He called the people to account. Behold the Lamb. A few of John's disciples followed the Lamb. As they said to Christ, "We want to see where You live." They were the first Christians. Today we read of Jesus calling these disciples. Jesus, He begins to set the foundation of His church. "From henceforth, you will be fishers of men. You have fished all day and caught nothing. Go back out. Cast your nets." The narrative leaves no doubt about their fruitless labor, but shows their swiftness to obey the command of Jesus. Back out, cast the nets. And to professional fishermen, what was none other than a miracle? Fish enough to nearly sink two boats in abundance. Imagine St. Peter falling to his knees, and as he says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man," he clutches the legs of Christ so as to not let Him go. And it shows correctly our absolute dependence on God, our need to cling to Him, and our need to overcome self and correct our sinful way. Frankly, I try to put myself in those shoes of St. Peter. Here's a professional man. He has indicated it was a fruitless night. He's finished cleaning his nets. Those times in our life where we're prompt to the answer are precious and beautiful. Fortunately, an awful lot of times is, "You've got to be kidding me." That direction might seem to us like madness at many moments in our life. And that treasure of this response, Peter, he complies and he goes out and he does lower those nets. Certainly rewarded for that. Of ourselves, our labor will be fruitless. Labor and toil for what? A few momentary pleasures? No. We have been given a treasure beyond any price we could pay. Without God, we can do nothing. Our toiling and suffering will amount to nothing. Without God, by his grace, with God, by his grace, all things are possible. Ultimately, what is that? All things. That's not just the miraculous. Life. Jesus called the apostles, "I will not do this work alone. Come with me." They left everything and they followed. We are to leave all things that are dead. If they are not of God, they are dead. If your activity, your employment, your recreation cannot possibly have the assistance of God by its very nature, it is dead. Leave it. We follow the way of grace, life. That in everything we do, God is an intimate part. When you work and toil, food is placed on the table, treasure is placed in heaven. Where does the Lamb lead us? Due to the first fall, creatures are subject to suffering and toil, to work, to obtain bread by the sweat of the brow. Jesus did not remove that. Often so much we wish he did, but Jesus did not remove that. He joined us and he sanctified this path. Himself working, toiling, suffering, showing us the way in this veil of tears, the way to eternal joy. The sufferings of this life cannot compare to the glory which awaits. No one in this world is free from suffering. Poor, sick, whether that suffering is a material or spiritual nature, and of course no one suffers so much as one who is spiritually sick. To have all you could want in this world and lose your soul. We are called by Christ, whatever that brings. And years ago, I went to Rome. And I remember going to see this little chapel called by the name of Quo Vadis. Where goest thou? Quo Vadis. In time of persecution, St. Peter, he was fleeing Rome at the advice of the Christians so as to avoid mortal danger. As he's fleeing Rome, there he sees Christ. He meets Christ, who is going into Rome. Meets Christ, and falling on his knees before him, he says to our Lord, "Where goest thou? Quo Vadis?" And our Lord tells him to suffer again. Whereupon St. Peter, he returned to Rome and gave his life for Christ and for the church. That you suffer never means that you've been abandoned. Take up your cross. But it's tedious, but it's tasteless. But, it's enough that it is your cross. Our Lord would tell us, it's enough that it's your cross that I have fashioned for you. Indeed, it is lonely, but I am with you. Years ago, I had this thought about the wonder of God wanting to use us as his tools. The idea that our Lord would bring us to show us his collection of tools, his box of tools. And you got that, you have that idea then. I'm so excited. This is wonder to be able to see the things of our Lord and what he would use and what he does use in his work. Certainly, it's got to be the most incredible box of tools or tools in that box. And so he brings you to show you. And you have this great idea and wonder of what those tools will be. And when he shows you those tools, you're scandalized. Lord, I don't understand. They're all broken. Oh, no, no. No. You see, this rake here. When I think of that rake that's the hard tines on it, maybe for raking in gravel and things of that nature. The handle's broken off, maybe. There are only 3 tines left of the 8 that were on that rake. So when you see it, you declare they're broken. And he says, oh no, that tool is perfect. You see that gutter up there on the roof of the house? It's filled with leaves and pine needles and things like that. Can you get those out for me? Oh, yes, certainly. I have a really good tool for that. Those 3 tines work really well to get those leaves and needles out of the gutters on the building. The difficulty is this. Wait. I'm, of course, in joy for the wonder of that work at hand that our Lord asked me to be a part of. And yet, somehow I can't let go of the fact that I'm a rake. I'm supposed to be raking. Broken tool. But no, that's not the work I've called you to do. You see that axe there, the handle's broken off. That one's special. It can do more than just one service. It holds a door open and it's a good paperweight. It's a fantastic tool. We so easily fall back to the obstacle, which I sometimes so boldly declare that I'm a broken tool. So easily we get in the way of the wonderful work that our Lord calls us to. We ask his grace and his guidance. Help us, O Lord, to indeed be a part of the work that you have and that you've called us to do. What a treasure and what a blessing it is. With his help, we can keep from being an obstacle. Wonder at what might seem like a broken tool. Turns out it's perfect. Let us seek to be a part of this treasure and wonderful work that our Lord, like St. Peter, work that I have to do, I will not do alone. May we enter that field and work with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.